Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show that focuses on people and organizations making a big difference in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us right now is Lamont Levels. He's a community liaison with Dallas and formerly with the DPD. Here's the deal about it. Lamont, you started the Dallas Bloods, didn't you? You were the founder.
Just me and eight more individuals. Actually.
Exactly. So you're not necessarily a police officer at all. So let's tell a story.
No.
In fact, let's tell a story real quick. I met you way back in the day when our mutual friend, Officer Leroy Quigg of the Dallas Gang Unit, he introduced me to you because you and I were both speaking with athletes at Madison High School. Football players were being targeted by gangs. They pulled these players out of their classrooms. I'll never forget this because they were pulling out of classrooms and the players didn't know why. One of them texted his mom. She was in the hallway when I got there. And she was saying, "What are y'all doing to my son? He's not affiliated with any gangs." First thing the officer said was, "They're going after your son, ma'am." And then she just shut up quiet. You could have heard a pin drop in that hallway. But again, later in that room, we were in the library. The players didn't know what was up until we started speaking. And then you started telling your story. And I wanted you to share your story with the listeners because, again, it is riveting and it's actually apropos, especially in light of what happened with Takeoff from the super rap group, the Migos, this past week in Houston.
Right.
I want you to go ahead and tell your story first, and then we'll get into some of the street violence and some gang violence.
Well, I'm a former gang leader. I didn't grow up in the gangs like most people from California. But what happened was I grew up as a, smart kid, loved school, principal's honors club. And, my mom got into a situation to where she had to leave Dallas and go back to California, and they sent me through foster care, orphanage, and things of that nature. I just ran away to the streets, Chris, mm-hmm. And I just got with the older guys, the so-called OGs, and I started running with these guys and doing, miscellaneous things, and it became my life. And, at the age of 12, me and eight more individuals, we say, "Hey, let's start a family. Let's start a gang. Let's be Bloods." And we started 415 East Dallas Bloods. And we never did think about and sit down and write out the blueprints of destruction that we were facing. We were just looking at the blueprints of money and power that we could receive. So it also led to, over the years, I was going to do a drug deal. And I went with some of my Blood friends, and I'm the only one was left there. I got shot in the head. It left me blind for the rest of my life. I've been blind 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my story. I go out and I try to help, kids change their directions on life, because I know influence in somebody's opinion are the biggest thing that these kids are facing with today.
What's interesting, and I want you to tell exactly what happened on that day, because when you were telling the story to the football players, that's when they started just really paying attention to everything you said. Because a lot of times people can say things and they go, yeah, that's your life, but it ain't gonna happen to me. And you explained how you were kind of feeling the same way. But explain how that drug deal going wrong happened and what happened when you were in the hospital, because I'll never forget that part.
You know, I was one of the founders, so I was a leader. I had a lot of guys under me. I had a lot of guys scared of me. I had a lot of kids that did what I told them to do. So a lot of people looked up to me from the jump because I took care of a lot of people in the process, too. But when we was going to do this drug deal, I went in with the mindset that I was going to come out. I was going to be bigger and better than ever because I was going to re-up and I was going to, you know, put it out in the street. So it was going to be more power, more fame, more money. Never did I think that I would go in the house and boom, one of my friends would shoot me, leave me for dead. All I remember is just waking up on the floor and be like, I'm in a box. I didn't realize I was blind at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was worried about my friends. I'm like, they shot. I'm not going to say his name. But until my head began to ring and my conscience told me it was me. He said, that's why you can't see. You've been shot in the head. So immediately I called on God. It's ironic we always get in bad situations. That's the first person we call on. When we need to be calling on before we even make our decision.
Yeah.
And let him guide us. But I called on God, and next thing you know, he helped me, directed me up out the door. I began to walk down the street, so I found some help. A guy helped me. I sat and waited on the ambulance, and I was in the hospital bed. I was just, everybody that came through that door, I told them, hey, don't feel sorry for me. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I didn't want nobody to cry. I didn't want no sympathy. I didn't want none of that because I put myself in that position, you know, because your friends are like buns on the elevator, and that's what I've heard from Pastor Haynes, and that means they're either going to take you up or they're going to bring you down. The first moment I ever heard him spoke that, it registered in my mind that that's how my friends was becoming to me. Because what they wasn't there for me after I left the hospital room, Chris. They wasn't there. And I tried committing suicide, and I used to cry every day. And just listening to Pastor Haynes' Inspiration of Vitamins really got me through. Really mm-hmm. got me through just calling on God, you know. So I'm here to tell everybody that, you know, you got to police your kids. You got to police the friends that they be around, things of that nature, because they're not going to be their friends forever.
Right. And you were talking about how that hit home with you when you were at the hospital. I'll never forget this part you were saying. You were saying, these are supposed to be my ride or die guys. We're supposed to be family. And the only people that came up there to visit you were the girls, were the high school
that's
girls.
That's what we sign up for. When we get in these gangs and we put our trust in these other guys, we say, hey, we're going to ride it out together. Man, you got my back. I got your back. Can't nothing break us apart. But when it's down and when you add onto our penitentiary populations and when you get killed and add onto our cemetery populations, those guys are never there. They're not going to write you. They're not going to send you money. They're not going to bring food to your bedside. So God really opened my eyes. That's why I use the slogan, now I see, because I see more now than I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we're talking again with Lamont Levels, he's a community liaison with Dallas, and he's been on those streets for so many years, and you've made so many connections on the right side of the law and the wrong side of the law. And let's go back to those days when you were, you know, like I said, you were putting a gang together, and you just basically running these streets. What were all the guys that, when y'all were recruit guys, what were the kind of things that y'all would say to get them involved? Because these are the things that people need to know so that they won't fall into the trap.
Well, the one tactic that we used that was most effective was fear. We pumped fear into the whole city. Back in my days, East Dallas was the only blood set throughout the whole county, nearly. Mm-hmm. You had a couple of more, like Fish Trap, but East Dallas, we were surrounded by nothing but Crips. So we installed fear into the rivals. And when you start install fear, then boom, everybody started changing. Everybody started recruiting. You couldn't come up to Fair Park. East Dallas owns Fair Park. That's how I'm going to put it like that. So mm-hmm. in order to come to the state fair on high school night, you had to become a blood. You had to wear red, or you wasn't getting up in there, or you was going to run up out of there. So fear was one of the ones. And then the other one is just like when you have these kids that are not gang members, that don't have the heart to really be in it, you get them and you put them up under your wing. because now you're introducing him to something that he's feel, oh, like I could be a part of, and now I'm powerful just because I'm with this person. But we use them for money, because those are the kids that have the money. Those are the kids that parents are sending them out the door with the money. So we need the money. We need the money to buy drugs. They need the money to buy guns. They need the money to set up shops. They need the money for everything. So it's many tactics. And then we use women. We have girls go out and recruit. Hey, gonna be a blood. I like bloods. You put all these things, these influence into these kids' minds until they become it.
Now, when you say these kids, let's talk about the age ranges, because when I always think about the gangs, I always think about like teenagers or early 20s.
No.
Now, tell me the age.
On up, starting at 8 years of age, you have kids in East Dallas projects that are walking around 10 years old with guns right now. From 8 on up. Once they hear the whole family, the uncle, the daddy, the aunties, the big brothers holler blood or crip, they're going to follow in line right behind them.
Right.
So they starting at an early age. That's why it's more important that we go into prevention more than intervention.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be proactive than reactive.
And what are some of the things you need to do? Like I mentioned before, who would have thought that some of the gangs were targeting athletes? Because at some point, I would think some gangs would leave certain athletes alone because they didn't want them to get caught up because they were proud of them. Tell us the distinction on why gangs would target certain individuals like an athlete or certain individuals, like you said, young kids.
Well, I believe it's more of these athletes' choice. You have a lot of athletes that's coming from these low-poverty environments and communities, and once they become that, then, you know, they already become a Crip of blood. Now they're going to school. And it's not like it used to be when we was active. We see somebody coming out the hood that's going to be prosperous and going to be beneficial to our community. Then we encourage them. Hey, you can't go with us.
Right.
Hey, you can't drink this. You can't smoke this. Now the kids are more. It's all about an image. If you're not doing this, you're not cool. That's the same perspective. That's why a lot of these shootings are going on around here, Chris, because of the image. You bring, and that's why I'm trying to come up with a solution to where we could get a petition started, because we need to start filing charges on these people who promote and advocate the violence, the ones who record it. See, back in the days, we used to could fight. We could fight all day because there's nobody around filming us.
Yeah.
So if you lost, you lost.
Right.
But now they put you on the internet and
World Star.
Lost. So now you got to come back and you got to prove something. So now you're bringing your gun back to the battle. Or while you at the battle, you can't be insulted because you see somebody got their camera. So now you're going to make a point.
Yeah.
And then when they done made the point, they realize, oh, I done made a mistake.
Yeah.
So that's something that we need to tackle. I don't think people should be able to promote and advertise the violence that goes around, because that's one of the problems, the influence, the image.
Yeah, let's bring that up a little bit, because a lot of people may be aware. Some people may not be aware. I can't even tell you how many fights that get promoted in a school. It's like, there's going to be a fight after school. Where are y'all going to be? In this parking lot. Or the fights happen in the middle of the hallway at school. And everybody pulls out their cell phones and start videotaping everything. Nobody's even trying to break it up. They're just agitating it. Can you talk about those kind of circumstances? Because you've seen it all.
Those are the reasons why majority of the shootings happen. Because you're pulling out a cell phone now.
Mm-hmm.
Now somebody's recording you. If I'm fighting, I know that this person recorded me. If I get knocked out, I'm finna go for my gun and I'm finna prove a point that I'm not no punk around here, because your image in the streets is everything. Your image is everything. That's why you have the kids saying they don't snitch, they don't tell. Kids be facing life sentences, ain't even done nothing. But they don't even want to snitch because they image.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same way with Aqib Talib them out there at the Pop Warner game. You take away those cameras, I think a lot of those people wouldn't even have guns out there or wouldn't even been shooting any gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a major problem that we have, that people get the video and these incidents. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, a person say, hey, I don't want my image to be tainted, especially if I'm a street guy and they look at me as tough on the streets. You got to stay and be that tough guy.
Let's go ahead and talk about Takeoff real quick, because that's that's the thing that everybody's been talking about this past week or so. Everybody was shocked and saddened when, from this super rap group, the Migos, Takeoff, one of the quiet, there's only three of those guys, Quavo, yeah. Offset, and Takeoff. And Takeoff was the quiet one. He was the guy that never did anything to anybody. And from the reports we've had so far, they were at a really nice birthday party down there in Houston. And at this birthday party, a dice game was happening. It was a dice game that is a nice bowling alley. It wasn't some off the street, off the corner. It wasn't in an area that was like unsafe. It was like a really high class area.
Right.
And I think this goes into your conversation about image, because they say he was basically collateral damage. He wasn't starting anything. He wasn't doing anything. He was just a bystander. And that's one of the reasons why so many people are upset, because it all happened for nothing. You can't blame him for starting something. You can't blame somebody else taking it out on him. He was just there. Can you talk about those kind of circumstances? Because it's almost like apropos that I have you on the show this week, because literally that's what everybody's talking about. It's like, what does it take to stop this stuff?
And that's the sad part of every situation that happens when something tragic happens, that the innocent person, the person that causes no problems, no drama, always be the one that end up shot or killed.
Right.
It saddens me that our young people today have to feel like they have to tote guns just to protect themselves, have to tote guns to feel tougher than the next guy. It saddens me that they can't fight and put down the guns and fight like we used to
back fist
in the
fight.
Days and live to see another day.
Right.
Live to talk about it. We used to have 3-4 fights and then make up and live and laugh. Now we're talking about it years later. Now these kids, and it saddens me, like, Chris, that any time a fight jump off, I don't care if it's at a reunion, at a basketball game, that now all these guys are pulling out guns and they just shooting recklessly. Mm-hmm. Recklessly.
Mm-hmm.
Innocent people are always getting killed like that. That's what bothers me. And that's another thing that I feel like that our state officials have to take control of and implement new laws. So I'm educating. I'm encouraging, everybody to get out there and vote.
Yeah.
Get out there and vote, especially with our gun issues. Our schools aren't even safe anymore. Look what happened when the young kid took the gun down to the state championships or to the regional championships a while ago, playing basketball for the city of Dallas. Come on, kids have to take a gun just to go be in a tournament, a basketball tournament. I don't understand the way these kids are living, and I don't understand how we're going to allow our kids to live in this type of environment.
We're talking with Levant Levels. He is the founder of the East Dallas Bloods. And again, back in the day, not that long ago, but still back in the day, you were involved in a situation where there was gun violence and you got shot in the head and you are legally blind for the last 21
years. I'm totally blind. I have no light perception. Most people see shadows or images, colors. I see nothing for the last 21 years. Total pitch, like I'm in a bottomless pit, Chris.
So when you got out of the hospital, what were the charges against you? Tell us what happened with you personally, because you still have major street credibility, even though you don't break the law, you're no longer in gangs. But I want people to hear your story about what happened after you lost your sight.
After I lost my sight, there was no charges brought against me whatsoever. There was no charges brought against no one, because I really left everything in the streets. That was my mentality then. At the time, I didn't want to, you know, be labeled as a snitch or red or whatever things may be. But then as time passed and I realized that all these guys that I took care of, I protected, I spent my money and I sacrificed my life and freedom over, they wasn't there for me no more. It was the women that I insulted and disrespected. It was the same women came to my rescue and helped me and showed me how to be a bigger and better person at the end of the day. And I appreciate, you know, those people for that. So it kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things. So I began moving differently. You have to eliminate people from around you. And, you know, and I commend Coach Prime
Deion Sanders.
I commend him what he did with his students. He stopped them and he let them know, hey, y'all not going outside because the influences is outside. And if you go outside and you say the wrong thing and somebody else say the wrong thing, then something else can happen. We need more brothers like Coach Prime in their kids' lives, the kids that they affect every day, our teachers and our coaches and our principals. We need more people like that in their lives, stopping them from getting into a situation that they headed down. Because they 9 times out of 10, they don't even know that they're headed down that direction.
Exactly. You're talking about Deion Sanders. He's the coach of Jackson State. They're undefeated. He's an NFL Hall of Famer, went to the World Series, went to the Super Bowl, won championships with the Dallas Cowboys and the 49ers, and he is turning things around at Jackson State, down at the HBCUs down in Mississippi. And he gave a great speech to his team, telling them.
He's from
He lives here still. He's still living in Texas.
He do a lot of things down here in Dallas. So, you know, I used to do some things with him and Pastor Omar Jawar, which it was a good.
The urban specialist.
And everything, so. Yep.
Yeah, the thing about Coach Prime, he does a lot of things low-key that people have no idea. That's why he's got such great respect. But one of the things he said in that speech to his and I advise everyone to go to YouTube or go on social media and just look up Deion Sanders' takeoff.
He's just like you, Chris. You do a lot of things behind the scenes that people don't know about, and I applaud you for all the things that you do, because at everything I'm invited to, I'm running to you. I say, Chris active. I learned that about you. So, you know, if you need me for anything, I'll be there for you, my brother.
Well, I appreciate that, Lamont. And again, what Deion was saying was, if you're going to change, you cannot expect things to change if you don't make the changes. And he was talking to his players about, you know, you can't be around the same people that you might have grown up with. You're going to let them go. He even mentioned about, you know, he said, we talk about changing your address. He said, yeah, sometimes you just have to change your address. If you really want to change, you have to be about the change.
Right. Why do we have to wake up when people that made it out of poverty, situations, people that we've pushed and people that made it, and they still holding on to guys that don't mean them no good, no prosperity? Those are the things that Deion don't understand, and I don't understand neither. It's going to be a lot of friends when you make it, you have to let go, because they're not going, they're not headed in the direction that you're headed. And we've seen many cases. Look at what happened with Aqib Talib, lost all his sponsors. Just because some of his family member actions, you know.
Right.
Some people you're going to have to let go.
Exactly. And some people know, and there's a phrase, my grandma used to say, I may be related to them, but they're not my family.
That's right.
And that's what sometimes you got to draw the line. Sometimes you try to work things out with people. You try to your best to have them grow out of their situation as well. And if they can't get it done, you might have to leave them behind because they won't change. They don't want to change. And I'm glad that you, like I said, have been using your wisdom, even though you have no sight. You've been using your wisdom of all the things you've been through to try to help kids stay on the right track. Can you talk about, again, why you have maintained, you know, your credibility and the fact that you're still out talking to kids and talking to adults about how they can change their lives, and it's never too late?
I think the reason why I maintain my credibility is because even though my situation happened, I didn't run and I didn't abandon from the things that God needed me to do. So I didn't abandon the kids in the hood. I still be over there. Mm-hmm. I engage with them. Mm-hmm. I'm just engaging in a different way. I'm telling, hey, stop all that cussing. Hey, go to school. Hey, y'all quit that fighting. Hey, do something productive and constructive.
You're trying to give them some structure.
Right. So kids respect that. They respect anything. They're going to respect right or wrong. I tell people this all the time. It's whatever you give them. It's whatever you make them respect. Mm-hmm. If kids see fear, boom, they're going to feed off of it. If they see love, they're going to feed off of that. So I kind of engage with both of them. I let them know, hey, I'm still here. I'm tough. But, hey, I got love for you. It's that tough love. So, you know, I don't need you to fear me. I just need you to understand me.
You know what, Lamont? I got to go ahead and pull the curtain back a little bit more, because The last time I saw you, which was last month, you were down at DPD, and you were telling a great story because our mutual friend, Officer Leroy Quigg, retired from the Dallas gang unit, and he went back to Ohio to be with his mom. So Major Quigg. And you told a story about how when he was working with the gang unit initially, and he was trying to help get some of these kids out these gangs and whatnot, y'all would run from him and his partner. Can you kind of tell us some of that story again? Because literally, one of the things you said was, ain't no way in hell you could have told me years ago that I would have wound up at the Dallas Police Department saying goodbye to somebody who's retiring that's on the police force. That was funny to me.
Yeah, when we started our gang, Chris, they started their own gang also, and it was called Gang Unit. And it was designed to, you know, to dismantle everything that we had going on. So they had two officers at the time that was relentless, and that was Major Quigg, which we gave him the name Curly Top because he had big curly locks of hair. And we gave his partner, Norm Smith, Russian because he looked like a big Russian.
Mm-hmm.
So we would learn them officers, man. We learned their hours, they worked, and so we wouldn't be on the streets while they was out there because they was relentless. They was so smart, they knew how to get to know everybody without doing harassment to the community. So, but
you just figured out how to avoid them. You like a coaching staff said, okay, let's do some scouting. Let's make sure that we don't run across them so we can still do our business.
So I ran from him for about maybe 6 years in the process. He never captured me or anything until one day I didn't run from him no more. And he took me down for aggravated robbery and everything. And he preached to me the whole way. I still didn't want to listen to him. And I got out. I still didn't listen, which I should have. But a couple of years later, that's when I ended up losing my eyesight and everything. And my brother, he was still out doing his intelligence, and he was rolling through the neighborhood, and he stopped my brother because he had on all red, and he took him down to Capiers, ran his name, and made sure he was who he was. And then he gave him a job afterwards at a boot camp. And my brother started working at the boot camp, and he seen that I was sitting in the house not doing nothing with my time. And he was like, man, come and let your emotions out. Come talk to my kids and tell them stay out of trouble. So I tried it. It made me feel good, especially the way the kids had responded to me and was crying, and they was requesting me every week now. So I just began to go down there, and Quigg just say, hey, let me take you around the schools. And, man, we hit every school possible, every church, every parking lot, every apartment complex that we could, man, trying to talk to kids and influence them to stay away from gangs and to do the right things. And I was just like, me and him always haven't been the best of friends. That's one of my great lies. We haven't always been the best of friends, but look at us now. We're working together to solve a problem that, you know, he's passionate about and I was very passionate about.
So you guys even did some barbershop conversations, kind of like LeBron James had his HBO barbershop, you know, shop. Y'all were actually talking to people in barbershops too, right?
Oh, yeah. We took the chief out and we took a lot of the resources out to the barbershops because that's what people talk, and we fed everybody that was at the barbershops, you know, and we just had dialogue and conversation, asking them, hey, what do y'all need in the community? What do y'all want to stop happening with our police department? Things of that nature. It's a big, big, big gap between the police department and our communities that we need to mend, and I try my best to help do that because I know that policing is very essential to the way we have to live. People don't understand that we cannot be screaming defund our police departments and all those things.
Right, right. You got to have some kind of law enforcement.
You got to have law and order. There you go.
Exactly. So when you were giving your advice to the police and city officials, what were some of the things you were recommending to them? And again, everybody doesn't follow everybody else's advice, but what were some of the things that you brought up?
One thing I always bring up and I highly recommend is when we're helping someone, whether that's with the DA's office or with our Dallas Police Department or resources that we give people, let's not just help that one person. Because what we're doing, we're helping one person. We get them all lined up in order, then we send them back into the dysfunctional environment, which is their family. And if their family still needs things and all that, it's going to put pressure on them to go out and make a mistake. So now let's just help that one individual. Let's find out who all in that household, whether it's uncle, daddy, brother, sister, mama. If they need education, we help them with education. If they need jobs, we help them with jobs. If they need help with resources for us, mental bills, anything, we help that whole family. Now,
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're helping a whole household. We changed the whole household mind of thinking and the way they live. And now what that household going to do? It's going to prosper. You're going to have people moving out into their own houses and everything.
Sure.
We're setting people up, you know. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, it's going to affect the people next door. Because once you – that's how people live. If you have somebody living next to you that's living the same as you, then you're comfortable with that. You try to find somebody who's going to move on the other side of you with the same mentality. Mm-hmm. But if you have somebody that, hey – they keep their yard clean and nice and cars clean, you're going to try to compete. You're going to want to keep your yard clean, keep your house clean. And you're going to challenge your kids to do better and go to school because you see the neighbor. So that's what we got to do. We got to quit helping one individual and help the whole family.
I hear you. One family at a time, one house at a time, the next one street, then one street. And then the next thing you know, you got a block. Next thing you know, you got the entire neighborhood. And all of a sudden, that particular part of town does not become a big issue anymore. They may have some troubles here and there, but it's not a big issue anymore. I hear what you're saying. We're talking with Lamont Levels.
I'm hoping a lot of people hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think they are. We're talking to Lamont Levels. He's the founder of the East Dallas Bloods, and he's now a community liaison. And you've been working with so many different people over the years. I know you've got family. What does your family think about you and how you've changed your life? And you can shout out some people who are very close to you about, you know, what they think of you and how they've been there to support you, and you couldn't get it done without them.
Well, in the beginning, a lot of my family, they wasn't all for it because they didn't know the backlash that I was going to take with the gang, especially my mom. She was very concerned that the gangs was going to, you know, be after more.
Retaliate.
Because my engagement with the police department. And then, not only that, you have other gang members, they looking at you like, oh, he a snitch, he rat, he helping the police. You know, they're not looking at the fact that I'm going out and changing lives and, you know, those type of things. But like I told Quig at the going home thing, I appreciate him because he never, ever put me in a compromising position where he asked me anything about the streets. He did his job, and that's what I loved about him most. But, oh, yeah, my family, they got over it, and after they start seeing all the people that I was working with and the things that I could do for so many people, that they embraced it, and they love it to death. They support me so much, my sister, my wife, everybody really supports me.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that you're so involved with so many different things. What have you got coming up over the horizon, and what are some of the things that you would love to do that maybe you might need some help with?
Well, I have a speaking coming up this Saturday, actually, at the Dallas Firehouse over on Dolphin Road. I'm going to be speaking to some kids, trying to influence them to engage in the right things. And after that, I'm building up my own nonprofit organization. I'm not going to say the name right now.
Save it, yeah.
A couple more things out of the way. But I'm starting my own nonprofit organization. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bring so many organizations up under one umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people this all the time. We have so many organizations that disperse millions into the community, and we still don't affect anything because a lot of these organizations, they're just offering one or two solutions. I'm trying to build a program that's going to offer all the solutions up under one roof.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, we're going to start with engaging in the people that need it, and we're going to help not just that person, but we're going to engage into their whole families. And we're going to build a relationship with them that where they're going to be a part of our program also. So everybody that comes through the program will also be a partner and participant into helping somebody else.
I love what you're thinking, and I love what you have done. Let's go back to the gangs real quick. You mentioned the mentality of how gangs prey on kids and put fear into them and get them to join up. What are some of the either former gang members or gang members, what do they think of you today? I mean, there's still gangs out there. You're not a part of them, but you used to be. What have you heard about what they think that you're doing? Do some of them think that it's cool? Do some of them think it's a waste of time? I just want to know some of the feedback you've gotten over the last few years.
I have some of them that, you know, give me a little problem. But majority of the guys that are former gang members, I could say 90% of them, and 90% of the active new gang members, they respect me, Chris, because I'm going to get them respect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going to
stay out their way, but at the same time, I'm going to let them know how I feel, you know. And that's all it takes from our OGs. We don't have enough OGs out here telling these kids
yep.
what they're wrong at. When I was back in the days, the OGs used to tell us, hey, don't break in no houses over here. Not for communities and break in the house. And, you know, they even though they told us something wrong, you know, they was, hey, we're going to protect our communities. So that's what the OGs don't stand up. Hey, telling the kids, hey, even if it's just, like I say, when I hear them cussing out there, hey, clean your mouth out.
Right.
Put all that cussing. You know, just talk to them. These kids want to be guided. They want to be led.
Yeah, they just want some structure. A little bit more structure.
Yeah,
that's it.
We have no leaders, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about teachers? Because I know that, like I said, when we were visiting some schools, you were talking to some of the teachers as well. Some of the teachers, unfortunately, are put in the position where sometimes they are having to raise the kids or have an influence with the kids. Can you talk about some of the things that teachers have asked you and the things that you say to them?
Well, for one, our teachers don't get paid enough.
Correct. That's the bottom line.
Our teachers are our second parents.
Mm-hmm.
Our teachers are the parents while we're at work and while we are making sure they have a better life. Our teachers are in there making sure that they produce a productive life. So that's one thing. I think we need to find more compensation for our teachers. Another thing, I think that a lot of these teachers now, they horrified with just knowing that, you know, the schools ain't safe.
Yeah.
So we got to provide a safe haven for not only the students, we got to provide a safe haven for the teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shame when, you know, you got to protect the schools from guns or the fact that people can just walk around with guns like it ain't nothing. I understand what you mean. One other note before I let you go. Like I said, Major Quigg has retired. There's still a few people left with the Dallas gang unit. Are there any officers that you say, well, I hope this joker retires too? Or do you need a few of them out there?
We need all of them out there. We need. But one thing I do say, and I said this at Officer Quigg's
retirement.
Celebration retirement, that he was one of a kind of officer.
Yeah.
You know, he had respect on the streets. He done all that by engaging with the community. He got to know people. He talked to them. And I truly mean this. I don't see no officers in the department like him, but I said that God did send us one officer with similar traits as him
mm-hmm.
because he's been doing all those things, and I hope he continue to do all those things, and that's our new chief, Eddie Garcia. He's a wonderful guy. I think he's passionate about everything that he do, and I think he's committed to it. So I think we need to just give him more than 4 to 5 years as we gave our other chiefs. And that's another problem right there. We steady changing chiefs when we just don't need to change chiefs. We just need to change the answers to what we need
right.
done. That's all we need to change, yeah.
Right, how they're getting things done. I know exactly.
Yeah.
Some kind of continuity. You got to have some kind
That's
of continuity
right.
so people can know
it
what
gotta
to
be
expect.
Consistent, and it got to be longevity there, too, also.
Is there anything you could say to the parents who may be worried about their kids going to school and may be influenced by some gang members or want to go see the fights?
I tell them just to talk to their kids every day, tell them how much they love them, how much they appreciate them, and educate them on the destruction. We don't educate our kids enough on the destruction that lies ahead. We got to let our kids know, hey, if you stand right there and a fight go off, hey, you could get shot just like somebody else.
Like
don't
takeoff.
Stand right there
just like takeoff.
Yes, 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 just like takeoff. So we got to educate. When things like that happen, that's what I do, Chris. I take a takeoff situation, and I show my kids, and I educate them. And I say, you see how he was just standing
right.
there and he got killed? You know, that's what we got to do more of. It's not just about our lives that are going to change our lives, but it's about everybody's lives around us that help us change our lives also.
I like the way you put that because seriously, you just took what you said was a sad and tragic situation and made it into an opportunity to educate family about what they should do the next time or how you shouldn't put yourself in that situation or some mistakes that were made and try to make something positive out of a tremendous negative tragedy. I like that.
Yeah, I just use what my creator gave me to use. And he say, use everything that's around you and take off as a part of everybody's life that listen to his music. So he affected so many. So we just got to use his life and his life example to help a lot of more people to understand, especially these young women that's getting shot. A 23-year-old young lady got shot there too and need praying for. So we got to teach our young people sitting around trying to watch a fight, trying to record it, you can end up losing your life.
Exactly. It's too much about image nowadays. Like you said, with social media, everybody's so conscious about their image, and it leads to tragedy sometimes when you take it to the nth degree. And that's why, like I said, I'm glad to have you on the show today because a lot of people needed to hear your story. And the fact that, by the way, you haven't let the tragedy of that failed robbery or that drug deal bring you down. You've said, you know
That's
what?
Right. I'm not going to let me losing my eyesight determine what I see in life.
Right. Say that again for everybody who missed
it. I'm not going to let losing my eyesight determine what I see in life. God closed my eyes in order for me to see, and I see more now than I've ever seen.
Well, man, you are, like I said, you are a tremendous asset, and that's why we had you on the show because you may not know, but there are probably a few lives you're changing right now just by saying the words that you said on this show. I appreciate you so much, Lamont.
No, I appreciate you and everything you do behind the scenes.
Thank you, too. That's Lamont Levels. He is the founder of the East Dallas Bloods. He's a community liaison here in Dallas, and he is a man of the streets, and he's a man who parts a lot of wisdom for those who need to hear it. Thank you so much, Lamont.
Thank you.
And joining us right now from the DPD, Officer Bervin Smith from the Northeast Division. How you doing, Bervin?
Doing great, man. I'm honored to be here. Glad you took a few minutes out to talk to us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. As a matter of fact, I just had Lamont Levels on just before you came on.
That's a great man. He has a great story, and I'm very proud of him and what he does in his community. He does a lot.
Exactly. Now, I know we got you on the show because we're going to talk about the health and safety fair that's coming up this coming weekend on the 12th in Lake Highlands. We're going to get into that a little bit, but we were also talking about how, you know, the senseless tragedy down there in Houston with Takeoff from the rap supergroup, the Migos, and how he was basically an innocent bystander. But we're just talking about how gun violence is just tragic.
You know, sometimes just being there is Chris, too much. And, you know, I've been hearing he didn't have anything to do with it. He wasn't doing much. But, you know, I just think sometimes being in a bad atmosphere or not a conducive or positive atmosphere, bad things can happen. And it's unfortunate that this keeps happening in my community. You know what I mean? And it saddens me a lot, you know.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people are upset. And maybe because he wasn't an instigator and he wasn't, you know, quote unquote, argue with anybody, that maybe people will understand a little bit more about it's not about just you can't be pulling out a piece and trying to just shoot just because something goes down. It's not the first thing you do.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, you get into a fight nowadays. When I was a kid, you got into a fight, and that was the end of it. Tomorrow or that night, we were friends again.
Yeah.
Now, man, it seems like I've been doing this job for 32 years and with Dallas. And it's now it seems like I can get into a disagreement with you today, and you might see me 10 years from now, and people still have a beef about it. No one gets past anything, and it's unfortunate. You know, it's really like you got to, like, it's almost like, man, let me just take that L. Go and beat me up, man. Go ahead and win.
Yeah.
I ain't got to worry about you attacking me or me and my family 10, 15 years from now. Everybody has a grudge.
Right.
Something to prove.
You know, you mentioned you've been on the force this long. Let's tell your story a little bit. What made you decide to join the police department?
You would ask me that, huh?
Yeah, because everybody's got a story.
That wasn't part of the deal. I saw stuff happening in my community. Growing up in Baton Rouge, and I'll tell you this, and I can share this with only a couple of people. I saw my mother get into a very bad accident. Not a bad, like, hurt her, but an accident was very clearly not her fault. And people witnessed it, clearly saw that it wasn't my mother's fault in the accident. And I remember the officer writing the report up and saying that it was my mother's fault. And I remember how upset she was. She was a real cautious driver. It took the teachers and other people at the school to help her go forward and get the accident changed. And that made me say, hey, you know what? I thought about it a lot as I grew up. And it made me sometimes have a negative attitude towards officers. And I knew all officers are not the same. But it really made me say, I might want to do this one day and see if I can make a difference. See if I can do some of the same things you see me doing right now. And show number one that all officers aren't the same, and that, you know, that I could do some good. And it turned out 32 years later, you know, I'm still here. And half the cops I meet or say, I was talking about that this morning, Chris. You hear a lot of officers, man, I'm going to do this for a couple of years. I'm only going to be here for 3 years. I'm going to do something else. And most of them start doing this job, and it's usually 20 years later, 25 years later before they leave. And you fall in love with the idea of helping people. At least I have. And most officers you talk to, when they go through the process of joining the police department, the process, they always ask in the interview, they always ask you, why do you want to be a police officer? And I used to be on those oral review boards, and 9 out of 10 of them say, I want to help somebody.
Right.
I want to help people. And that's one of the reasons I want to do it. I mean, I'm from Baton Rouge. I'm a Southern University Jaguar. I'm a HBCU.
Yes, sir. By the way, sorry about that loss to Jackson State last week.
Hey, man.
I had to go there for a minute.
That is a super team.
Yes.
We're playing against a super team with a first-year coach in the SWAC. So, come on, man. But listen, with the Bayou Classics and with the HBCU game, it's always a family reunion. Every time you have them,
exactly.
Every game is a reunion type deal. We may lose on the field, but we win up in the stands. We win in the stands, and you know, it's a good time. I'm proud of Jackson State. I'm glad of the attention that Deion has brought to those schools.
And he made a really good speech talking about Takeoff when he's talking to the players, talking about if you want change, you've got to be about the change. You're going to have to let some people go.
And he show you how much he loves those kids. He said, none of my players are going to be out this weekend. We're coming out here to take care of business. Y'all going to be safe. He didn't dog out the city of Houston.
He
said, hey, look, I'm taking personal responsibility for your child. I find your kid. He's playing for Jay State. I just like his message. You know, a lot of people call that man fake and he's all about himself. Well, you know what? I need to be more like him then, if that's the case, because it seems like he's pushing all the right buttons and he has these young guys' attention.
Yes,
and
he does.
Working in the field that we work in, it's hard to keep these kids' attention on something. And if you got someone that's spewing some positive stuff, especially in our community, you have to get a guy to stage.
And again, we're talking with Officer Bervin Smith, and Bervin, I'm going to just call you B. Can I call you B?
My friends call me B.A. Smith, but I'm on the phone with a Hall of Famer. How about that?
Well, I appreciate you saying
that.
How many
people know you are you're the only journalist that's in the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame back in 2019? How about that?
How about we now got one more? I got one more that just came in right behind me out of Houston. And so congratulations. His name is Ralph, and congratulations to him. He's the second one now. And
right.
I'm fortunate enough to be in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. So is Ralph. And also, I just got inducted into the Texas Boxing Hall of Fame. I was floored about that, but I've been covering boxing all these years.
You've done so much in the community yourself. But I mean, I got here in 90, and I remember you on the K-104 and the long run you had there, number one. I've had a lot of people don't remember when you used to be had a show called On the Beam. How about that?
Ah, yes. We're going way back in the days.
How about that? You got an award for that, if I remember right. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, it was an
Ace
Award.
I forget what it was called.
It was an Ace Award for Cable Excellence. So I appreciate that.
On the Beam. How about that?
Yeah. Well, let's stop going back down all those kind of memories. But I want to talk to you about back-to-back the police officer, being a police officer and policing, because a lot of people have that first responder mentality. I'm talking about there's fire officials, there's police officers, there's people who say, well, you know, if something's going down, I'm not going to run and hide. I want to go in and solve it. Was that the way you grew up, or is it something you developed over time? Because not everybody's capable of that, but they do want to help. And you mentioned you became a police officer because you wanted to help change some things and change the mentality of people who are thinking, well, wait a minute, all the police officers are a certain way.
Well, mine more than when I got here, I kind of agree with some David Brown said a few years ago, and about you can't arrest our way out of it. And granted, when you're young and you first join the department, you know, you want to go out there and you think, this arrest I make is going to make all the difference in the world. And I'm sure it helped for the night. It may help for the short term. But was I changing anybody's lives is what I thought. You know, was I a deterrent? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or was I just kind of filling the gap today? I'm going to arrest you for you stole this, you did that. But we never thought about or asked the question, why did this guy steal? Or why is this guy so angry? Why does he constantly have such a negative outlook on life or with the police? And I just, you know, I started doing this thing called community policing. We used to be called Interactive Community Policing, ICP. Mm-hmm. And we weren't the first division to do it, but we were one of the first. I think it started in Northwest Division under about Bachman Lake. And they asked me about being part of this. I was working in a neighborhood called Hamilton Park.
Oh, yes. Emerson Walls grew up in Hamilton Park.
That's right. From Emerson Walls neighborhood. So I started working out there, and I met him many years ago. And he does a lot of stuff out there in the community that people don't even know about, man.
Yes, sir.
And man does a lot in that community. Mount Zion Church, I've met him there a few times at some outreach events. But I started doing this community policing thing. And the fair, like we're talking about today, actually started by a guy named Lieutenant Tony Crawford. Do you remember Tony Crawford? He, and I think it was 91, he got shot by this thug over at White Rock Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, and he was paralyzed. Redhead guy named Tony Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony was over this unit, which is now called Neighborhood Policing. It used to be Crime Prevention. It was ICP, you know, all these acronyms, but it's all about outreach. And Tony Crawford actually started this fair that we're doing now. It was just called the Kids Fair, Northeast Division Kids Fair.
Right.
And we did it here at Northeast Division under the Sallyport. And they used to have about 300-400 people there, and we'd do hot dogs, and we thought we were doing something really big. So when Tony retired, I started doing the fair. I wanted to keep it going. And myself and a lot of the officers, I guess the longest serving person with me now doing this fair is my friend sitting next to me, a guy named Gabriel Ortiz.
Okay.
And
tell Gabe, I said, what's up?
Gabe, she said, what's up, Gabe?
What's up, Chris?
So we moved it from Northeast because it got so big because what we're doing, we're just doing hot dogs and hamburgers and city agencies were coming out. And I said, man, we got a platform here that I think we could do something bigger. So instead of miscalling it a kid fair, we changed it to a health and safety fair honoring special needs families.
Nice.
I said, it went from fair to Northeast Fair to we made it a Northeast Kids Fair. We went from 300 or 400 to about 1,000. I said, man, how do we get all these families out? What can we do? I said, it's got to be in the delivery of our message. So we changed the name from that to, I started calling it the Northeast Kids Health and Safety Fair, honoring special needs families. And that blew it up. That's been probably 10 or maybe 15 years ago. We started calling it the Kids Health and Safety Fair. In the last 5 years, it's been honoring special needs. Now, this special needs fair we're talking about that's going to be on November 12th at Lake Collins High School from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. is all free.
And that's the best part about it. Everything
is
free.
All free. And we call it a useful fair. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that, I've never seen this much need. I've been in outreach for over 20 years. And with the pandemic, mm-hmm. high gas prices, inflation, I've never seen so many people need as much as they need now.
And some of the things you're offering are free coats, health screenings.
Brand new coats.
Flu
brand
shots.
New coats.
Oh, a nice brand new coats.
Nothing used. Mm-hmm. We're giving away, about 400 turkeys so far.
Yeah.
Health screening, flu shots with Dallas County Health and Human Services, personal care bags. And you said, what are the personal care bags? One thing from talking to some of the churches and that we deal with here in Northeast Dallas, well, I asked them a few years ago, what do people need the most that they ask for? What do they not buy when times get tough? And the surprising answer, Chris, was people stop buying stuff like deodorant, feminine product, toothbrush, toothpaste, things that we take for granted every morning that we're going to have in our bathroom mm-hmm. or in our toiletry area. These folks sacrifice that. It used to be, they used to decide, especially seniors, they have to decide, used to be, I'm going to decide between food and medicine. Now, it's the trifecta. Let's choose between food, medication, and how about this, personal items.
Personal items, yeah.
Those are, that we don't want to call it a hygiene bag or whatever. We try to make it something.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Personal items,
Personal care bag. So
right.
We're going to give away hopefully about 400 to 500 of those bags. Woman's Purpose Ministries is a big partner. Mm-hmm. Lady out here in Northeast Dallas named Tanya, she feeds so many folks at these different apartment complexes. I'm talking about thousands of meals. She works out of Hamilton Park United Methodist Church. She'll be there. Local hospitals. We're partnering with the Elks Lodge. Some of our sponsors are like Mission East Dallas, Medical City. Our title sponsor has been Dallas Children's Charities. Used to be called the Margarita Society. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
They've been helping sponsor this thing for the last probably 10 years. They're a big part of it. But we've gotten so big till we've been able to include the Medical City, Vickery Midtown, Lake Collins Pitt, Public Improvement District. All these local companies have joined in on a yearly basis to participate in all the outreach. I'm going to tell you something, man. I think we do the best in the city of Dallas here in Northeast Division. I mean, we do – look us up.
Yeah.
Google my name.
Yeah.
Pull up Northeast Division and see all the stuff that we do. And we're very proud of that. I'm a very competitive person. Let me say that to you, Mr. Arnold. And kind of taking that from a sports field to a building or a room or a gym and taking it to different places like that, outreach centers, rec centers, you know, to keep me motivated. You know, mm-hmm. I think we all need something to keep us I'm getting up in the morning. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And, this makes us want to be the best that we can. I mean, we got so much to offer, man. I'm gonna tell you, we got In-N-Out Burger that's coming on the 12th.
Oh wow, they're gonna bring the food truck. Yeah,
bringing the food truck out. Something I wasn't gonna mention, but I'll throw it out there. We got you've heard of the North Texas Honda dealers, right?
Yep.
They do a lot of stuff in the community. Well, this is the first time they're bringing the Honda tree to Texas.
Look out.
They actually bring a tree out and grant the wishes of the kids.
Wow. That's awesome.
And, I mean, it's pretty amazing to have them come here. And we do stuff, I call it the old-fashioned way here in Northeast. I mean, everybody likes to do social media. I think that's great, but you got to meet people where they are. And a lot of the people that we're going to reach at this event, they like flyers. You have to go to those neighborhoods, those corner stores, and put the information there and let them know that, hey, this is right around the corner from you. You can't assume, I know a lot of our school districts and places like to use email or phone number, but you know in a lot of the communities that we're reaching, Chris, these families, these mothers, to be honest with you, their phones change every 6 months.
Yeah, that's true.
That phone may be turned off. She may have to get another phone that with a new number because she can't pay the old bill off to keep the number. See, people don't think about that. So you got to I think keep reinventing yourself and not trying to find the latest and greatest technology to reach people, but how about find the simplest ways to meet people and go to where they are, not assume that they're going to come to you.
Also, you know, it gives them a better impression of you too. They know that you care.
Yep. Those pass them flyers out. Like tomorrow, we're doing flyers tomorrow in the community. We're going to have to put the flyers in people's hands, put them on the shopping center windows where they allow us to do it, banners and signage, just going door to door talking to people. That has been our secret sauce at Northeast for a while.
Well, let me tell you something. I cannot thank you enough for sharing that here on this show. The Health and Safety Fair is Saturday, November the 12th at Lake Highlands High School. And as Officer Bervin Smith said, that's going to be the place to be, especially if you're in the Northeast area, the division that serves Dallas.
I want to mention this. We have a lot for the special needs community.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of the sensory items that the children like to play with.
Oh, good.
You can find all their items and items for those children. Again, the fair is for any and everybody, but we'll find those items under a table that has the autism symbol, that puzzle piece.
Mm-hmm.
That will be the spot you may want to go to find a lot of the items. We're going to have trikes. Trikes are the bikes that special needs kids ride. We're going to have a company that makes the bikes. They'll be giving the bikes away. I forgot about that. Those trikes are hard to get, and this company is actually coming out and doing them the day of. And we still need new coats. People can call me. They can email me. They can call me myself, 214-202-6255, Bourbon Smith. If you want to donate some brand new coats, you want to volunteer, you have something to offer that these families could use, some deodorant, you name it.
Personal items, yeah, anything.
Personal items.
Mouthwash.
Mouthwash. We got Ask a Nurse. We're going to have some nurses from City from White Rocks Medical Center that are going to be there to answer general questions about your health.
It is truly a health and safety fair.
There you go.
Officer B.A. Smith, can't thank you enough for joining us. You know, I have to have you back on the show real soon. We got to do it and talk about some of the great things you guys are doing.
Well, I can't thank you enough for fitting us in here today. This is a worthy cause. It's all free. Come on out.
All right. He's Officer Bervin Smith. I'm Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, thanking you for joining us. Tune in next week as we focus on other organizations doing great things in our community right here on Better Living. So long, everybody.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.